We're going to just have the one hymn this morning, and I'd like to once again welcome you all here, and I'm very, very thankful to be with you there this morning, and may thoughts placed upon my heart this week and ask an interest in your prayers. And I truly believe that we've been given so much to look at our own lives and our families over concerning, like I said, this devastation has taken place. And it's been on my heart and my mind, and I'm sure yours as well. You know, even as I'm looking at that, I was telling you about studying the family, the different parts of the family, and the subject matter. And today's message, I would ask an interest in your prayers, and I would hope to deliver some of those thoughts on marriage, because I know that it is near and dear to the Lord, as well as it is ours. And with that thought, that we are caused or should think when we see things such as this, we would pray for the hearts and minds of those people and for their blessings and the healings and the miracles. But I truly believe that the Lord also wants us to be very thankful for who we are, where we are. Be thankful for the miracles and blessings in our own homes. Having the family that we have, there are those that don't have any anymore. There are those that are scattered that aren't going to find their families. They have to watch their family suffer because of things aren't coming to them. There's medical things, medical aid, and they have to watch them suffer. Could you do that? Well, and we know that it's not a matter of whether they could or not. There, it's something that's put upon them at this time. And we know that there's been devastation in many periods of time and in many places, you know, on the earth, in many places, like I said, time and history. But each of them should cause us to reflect on who we are, what we have. And you know something? It could maybe even cause you to do things a little bit differently in your days and hours, in your life, and in your family. Maybe cause you to think, to pause, to ponder. Maybe even to start something new in your home. And I know, and I could bear testimony, even of things that have been done within my own family, where there has been hard time for different reasons, and I know that there's been some of my ways that have changed, even my own father. And the Lord wants us to take a hold of life and to learn from it. And by learning from it, we can also be blessed by it and through it. And so, but I would like to present some thoughts this morning, like I said, on marriage. Marriage is, and its purpose and its plan that we find. This is what we're talking about, like I said, the family as the unit, and we were comparing it to our gospel family in many respects. And the scriptures, I believe, bear out the usage of them within our families, our homes, with our decisions. And a lot to do with our gospel family, that are our marriages. And there are those that have their mates with us today, and some that do not, we know. But nonetheless, we can all learn and even at that, we can all learn about our relationship with our Savior and us, because marriage is compared in many respects with the Lord and His church. Very closely tied, very closely exampled in how precious it is. We find today in our society and in our country where we have digressed to a point from God being the foundation of this country, being started in its inception by the gospel of Jesus Christ, to even define today even the definition of what people think marriage is about, to whom it does pertain to, and redefining even the family itself, the family unit, and undermining the foundation, the sanctity of marriage itself, which is of divine origin. It's God's plan and God's idea. And, you know, and no matter what our thoughts are this day, upon even this congregation itself, we know that even within a lot of our lives, that a lot of water is going under the bridge for every one of us. Every one of us. That we are where we are in this piece of time. And the gospel of Jesus Christ comes into the hearts and minds of people to help you build, to lift up, to fortify where we are at this day. You know, even each of us in our own marriage relationships have things that we celebrate, we revel in, and we stand on and in our foundations. And the gospel of Christ is about, once again, nurturing, fortifying, and building where you're at, okay, for today and tomorrow and the next day. The Lord wants that foundation of under us. He wants us to work upon those things. He wants us to celebrate marriage. And so, what we need to understand is that the Lord's plan is sanctified and ordained. His pattern is sanctified and ordained through Him. We look at the very tenet of creation. He created them in the very beginning. Adam and Eve, male and female. I mean, it should make obvious sense. But once again, we find today where things are trying to be turned upside down. Isaiah said, "Woe unto them called good evil and evil good." That's also talked about in the Book of Mormon too. We find today things are being decided according to relative morality. In order to reason away for different things. Well, we wouldn't want to offend this person. We wouldn't want to offend this group or that group or for this situation or for that situation. We wouldn't want to offend them. But the Lord needs to take it on the chin. The Lord needs to take and be the one that His statutes need to be slid to the side because of relative morality. We've got to be careful that we're not knocking the underpinnings out from our foundation. Who is it that causes blessing and healing and miracle and sustainment but the Lord God Almighty? And we need to uphold His laws and His statutes and His plan, His design. Turn with me, if you will, in the book of Matthew, in the 19th chapter. I'd like to read verses 4 through 6. Matthew 19, chapter, verses 4 through 6. Now they had been talking to him, or chiding him, the Pharisees were, about putting away a wife, or divorce, if you will, and there was you know, within the old law, you know, there was provision for that, and it was because of the hardness of their hearts of the children of Israel, and they're trying to trip him up on that right, but Jesus is smarter than that, of course, and he's going to answer them. Usually answers the Pharisees where they're going away scratching their heads, realizing, you know, they missed another opportunity on him because y'all already knew and perceived their thoughts. And so they were talking about putting away life for every cause, and he answered and said unto them, and he's also teaching us with very important foundational teachings here too. Had you not read that which he which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Or for they shall no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. We've heard that hundreds of times, probably. Let not man put asunder. But guess what's happening today? Man is putting it asunder. And man's changing definition. And man is trying to disc the field, if you will, out there. And change what's being planted. Hoping that something good is going to come up from it. He said, those that made them at the beginning made them male and female. Who's talking here? Jesus Christ. What is Jesus Christ responsible for? Well, we know salvation. We know his death and resurrection, very eternal sacrifice itself. Yes, very foundationally important. Now, but he also was responsible for creation. It was through Jesus Christ that all things were created. See, he understands very acutely and very importantly, just as well as it said he made them in his image. He made you and I in his image. You and I, above the plants, the animals, and all things, breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we were given a living soul. Nothing else out there, animals, plants, trees, were given a soul. But man was given a soul. And we were created in his image. But he made them male and female. Very basic. Not for us to also decide. Not for us to decide, you know. We're not going to talk about many of the variations we say out there in society today, or the medical ability to be able to change that. You know, I feel like that I would like to have this change. I'm the feeling I want to be changed into something else. And that's what people are trying to decide today. Because what if society has tried to put the choice out there? And we won't go into all the sorts of variations of thoughts of nonsense that are going out there today. And I believe Paul was even talking, probably even had some of that in prophetic insight, where he says, so-called oppositions of science. How do we know how that was thought out? But he says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, they twain shall be one flesh. You know, and that, we need to concentrate on that. And we're going to be taking a look in many, many ways that attribute. We need to lift up marriages. We need to look forward to them. And we look forward to our relationship with our Father, which is in heaven, and through Jesus Christ, our relationship in the body of Christ, compared with the church. And so marriages need to be recognized. Let's recognize definition, recognize purpose and plan. We cannot let that be, you know, this is where also, when you are out there in the world and you are talking your workplaces and wherever you may be and so on and so forth, where you can be salt of the earth, and where it says that evil will prosper when good men do nothing, or women and children do nothing. And ideas and concepts and nonsense will go on. It says evil seducers will wax worse and worse. But we can quell that. You know, if let's say we're in a little crowd and somebody's spouting a whole mess of nonsense about, once again, the definition of marriage and so on. And you know the truth. Now, it talks about, it says, to those who know to do good, to do it not, to them it is sin. The Lord expects us to be good, usable, workable material. Purged ourselves from a vessel unto honor, fit and for the master's use. Okay? And so he expects you to be usable, and there are times, just plain simple sense is what's spoken. Hey, you know it's the Lord's design. And you know something? You have no idea who's listening to. You have no idea who's listening. I know of a time when I was working at Steelcase, and we were there in the tool room, and they were talking about creation. And there were things brought up that were definitely not scriptural, they were not definitely godly, they're not definitely according to the Lord's design. And we start getting into a discussion on that. And that's one of a pet discussion that I like to talk about, because I get a lot of information from the Institute for Creation Research according to the scriptures. And very neat when you know and understand and to observe what the truth really declares. And so as we were talking about these things, and we thought, first of all, there was only myself and this other man that were talking. And it was okay. You know, we weren't just goofing off in there, but it was okay that we were talking, you know. And one by one, another fellow started to listen, and someone else started to listen as different ones were asking questions. And I thought we had almost a little Sunday school going right there. And people were interested. But you see, you can have that same experience. How do we change our atmosphere and our workplaces and in our families, in our associations, and in our groups? By our witness, you see. And we need to stand for something. And if we don't stand for something, and if we don't stand for the right things, we can fall for anything, too. We can't be swept away with the crowd. And right is right if only a few are doing it. And wrong is wrong, even if everybody is doing it. And we've got to be careful that a lot of people want to go a certain way today. Now, in the Book of Mormon, it talks about that when the more part of the people choose iniquity rather than righteousness, then the judgments of the Lord come in upon them. Now, our country is just as susceptible to that today as it was in those times. Just as susceptible. Is our country broken, and is it dilapidated in many ways, and do we need the Lord's healing upon our hearts and minds and our ways? Do we? Book of Deuteronomy says that if we will turn to the God, to our God, and we know that is Jesus Christ and the Father, we turn to Him with all our ways, that He will heal our land. Now this has to do with even our moral stance and our witness as well, in the hearts of the minds of the people. The Book of Mormon, the third book of Nephi, says that when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel at that day, that the sword of my justice shall hang over them. You know, that's where we're at today. I believe that it was in the ninth chapter of the third book of Nephi, if you'd like to check that out. It's right in that, pretty close in that vicinity. And that's right down on the kitchen table, where we're at today. And we got to be careful, you know, that through each generation. Now, being that said, we're not holding up the Lord's time clock on where He's coming. And Jesus Christ is coming in that time whatsoever. We're not, and it's no farther away, but He expects His people to stand for what they believe in. We need to stand for these things. Stand for what is right. And so I would like to turn, if you will, over to Proverbs, the 29th chapter, in the 18th verse. Proverbs 29:18. Now, we have many, if you want to get some really, really great advice on family, on relationships, and all those things, on even matters of business, on matters of reputation, just so many great and wonderful things, read through the book of Proverbs. If you want to take and have good things instilled into your family, if you want to start precedence in your family, do you want to start a heritage, oh, so many wonderful things. You know, read in the book of Proverbs. Now, and so there's very, I believe, strategic verse, you know, that he gives us here. Verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Very short, very powerful verse. And so in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lives, our purpose, our plan, how do you view your Christianity? How do you view your family? Do you live by faith? Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ and His laws and His design in your heart and in your ways? It's strategic that it's in your ways. Book of James, we were just mentioning that this morning, that faith without works is dead. That He expects us to couple our faith and what we know into our ways. But we need to have that vision. And that vision that you have is based upon the gospel of Christ and what you know, what you have stored in your life, and how it helps you to guide, direct, and to live your life. You need to have that vision. And where there is no vision, he says, the people perish. Because of substance. Because of strength. Because of marrow. It's just like Jesus said, he that built his house upon a rock or upon the sand. The vision or the strategic planning is to build upon the rock, isn't it? So it would stand. But if you build it upon the sand, then it will erode. And it's just like talking the same thing about education. We're talking about spiritual education here. Those things which are going to build life. But they say that education is expensive. And it is. Some places are very astronomically high. Lately when I was checking into doing some classes, oh boy, there's some places that just knock your hat off. You might as well, you're mortgaging your future for a long time. And a lot of young people are going out there to get involved in education and to they take some loans out that are putting a pretty big saddle on their back. But they're investing in their future in order to be able to try to get a better job. Try to have something to fall back on, try to have some skills. But you know what they say about education? That you think of education as expensive, try paying for ignorance. It comes right back around and whacking in the back of the head. Because why? Because you didn't learn in order to avoid the situation and go on. And so, where we don't have the gospel and we don't have those attributes, and with our marriages, we need to fortify, we need to nurture, and we need to recognize them. And we need to be planting seeds today. Planting the seeds of today for tomorrow. We've got to look to those things and not let them languish, but to fortify, to appreciate, and to build upon them and plant seeds for today and tomorrow and not be digging a pit to fall into. And that depends upon you and depends upon choice. Now, over in the book of Matthew, back in Matthew, in the 6th chapter, I should have asked you to have your finger left right there. But you know something? When you go back and forth in the scriptures, there's some books in between. And this is really a great exercise. Because as you look in between, it gives you an idea of those ones that are in between there too. Oh, yes. You know? Matthew, the 6th chapter, and the 33rd verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. And you say, why would I bring that up? Not that it's not eternally important. Well, the very important, the thing to know, to understand, to accept, and to practice is that in our relationships, God must come first. God must come first. Okay? And one must be taken into account their own eternal life. Now, we love everybody else. We'd like to help everybody else. We would like to love our neighbor as ourselves, is the second commandment. If you love God, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. You and yourself. Now, it's going to do very great strategic things for our understanding and our heart, our practice, and our ways. That if we accept God first, and even though Jesus said to leave your father and your mother and cleave unto your spouse, and you would be one flesh. But you know something that hasn't changed there, and what is eternally important is that you are a brother and sister. No matter what the relationships are, have been, or are going to be in this room, we are brother and sister. Now, do you remember when Jesus was preaching in the home? And the place was packed. And we look at the inference that no one else could really get in. And the disciples come in and they said, you know, your mom and your brethren are outside, thinking that he would stop what he's doing and go to see them. Okay? Now, and I know that he loved his mom. I know he loved his brothers and sisters. Okay? Yes, I believe Jesus had brothers and sisters. But they had to be, what? Younger. The scripture does record that. Anyway, regardless of that I'm sure he loved them greatly. But what did he say? Who are my mother and brother and my sisters? But those who keep the commandments of my Father, which is in heaven. Our gospel family is eternally important. Now, it talks about 2 Corinthians 5:10, that we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We receive in our things, ourselves, the things done in this body, whether they be good or they be bad. But what does that tell us? Now, a husband and a wife, of course, have been joined. And they're going to be joined here, and that's an earthly covenant. The covenant of marriage here is an earthly covenant, not an eternal covenant. You say, wait a minute. But that's true. And so each, you know, like my wife and I could go meet the Lord before her. And so there, she can't be there for me at the judgment seat of Christ when I stand before Him. And hopefully we're living right, that she'll meet me when she gets there and not look down at me. Or I shouldn't say look down at me, because I don't believe that we are to be able to look at the other place. I don't think that's scriptural. We're going to be able to look at hell. I don't believe that's true. That would not be paradise. That would not be heaven. It could be the reverse, where they could see what they missed from hell to heaven. It could be. Don't quote me on that. But regardless of the matter, each of us need to go to meet the Lord individually. He says, So we each must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So we are brother and sister first, so God must come first. Okay? And we must each of us recognize His authority. Okay, so you see where we're throwing our allegiance? And if we throw our allegiance in that respect and in that purpose, that plan, that we will also understand each of our place, if you will. That's to each of us, because that's God's design, God's purpose, and God's planning for strategic reasons in the marriage relationship. Brothers and sisters. And sisters. And when issues, now here's another thing too, that if we recognize God first and we understand His gospel and according to respecting one another, that you know something? When issues come up, and they will, that we will and should understand to handle them in a gospel-like manner. Or we would go to His law and to, but needs to be, you know, obeyed, that that's what we would do. And that we would accept that. Now, the other thing that according to His plan and His purpose is that is today, in today's day and world, they like to teach self-centeredness and selfishness. And each must make their way, their plan, their design, their entertainment and all those things. But we know that's also not after the gospel of Christ, is it? And we know that many unfortunate things happen because of seeking other things or other distractions and so on, and it happens. Okay? But once again, looking at the gospel of Christ, where we're here in Matthew, in the 6th chapter, and I would like to take a look at Just a moment here. And I would like to go over that one for a moment. I would like to wait for a while on that particular scripture for a particular reason. And I would like to go over into Romans in the 12th chapter. Romans in the 12th chapter. But what I would like to say upon the is that what it, one famous verse that we've all learned in Sunday school: "Do unto others if you'd have them do unto you." And what we are going to send out that we can receive, if we're not planting seeds for tomorrow, we can be digging a pit today. And talking about self-centeredness and so on, if we are self-serving in our ways, what can we expect there too? And there's an old adage, if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you always got. And so the love that you do send out, that you exhibit, you should receive. As Jesus said, do unto others, you'd have them do unto you. Not as the world would teach us, do unto others, none split. If you forgive, most generally you're going to be forgiven. You expect the best of other people. Romans in the 12th chapter, I'd like to read verses 1 through 3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me that every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so, once again, that each of us are to submit to God, that living sacrifice, and we looking to God first. And that, you know, in the gospel of Christ would not contain selfishness or self-centeredness if the second great commandment after the first, which says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and might, the second says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Who is thy neighbor? You're going to say, well, that's not my spouse. That's not my neighbor. Now, wait a minute. That would have to be with everybody. And no matter the circumstance, you know, there are people, it's just, there are people that we say we can't get along with. And there are people we can't get along with. There are people out in the world that you say, well, I can't love them. I can't. But the adage is, it's not about who they are. It is about who you are, what you have professed to be, having the spirit of love, and so on. And so, I would like to look over into 1 Corinthians 7th chapter. And I would like to read verses 1 through 5. Now, Paul has given a good, sound advice and commandment. But yet, he goes on sometimes even to some liberties, I believe. But they're spiritually founded liberties, because of where he's at. And many times there are things that are within a time period where there are customs too that you take into consideration, the time frame in which they live as well. And the things they needed to deal with at the time that they were. Such as this morning we were talking about slavery, that they did have slavery. And there were masters and slaves or even in the church. And there was even idol worship they had to combat in the church. 1 Corinthians was about a lot of those things. Take in through a lot of the Gospels that we find, there were things that had to do with the custom and the period that they were in. Talking to the Romans, they had their false gods that they needed to, you know, they thought that that Paul was one of their gods and was going to do sacrifice according to that. And so, but he says, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man to not to touch a woman. Now, that does not mean that you're not supposed to have and to appreciate one's spouse. He's talking about, because he's going to give a prerequisite, nevertheless to avoid fornication. See where he goes. Let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Now, once again, what does that do to fly in the face of so-called modern-day logic? Doesn't do a whole lot for that, does it? Tells it the way it is. Let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. So we know it's not all one way. All one way, is it? Both should be looking to one another. But where did we learn this from, too? We learn this from the gospel. Why do we learn this from the gospel? Because we believe it. We believe it because it's God's word. It's God's word because it was spoke through one of his prophets. And we are looking to God for his authority, aren't we? That's why it means something to you and to me. Do benevolence, so we need to look to one another's, you know, feelings and needs and so on and so forth. And we don't put, each of us are not out on a ledge by ourselves. Okay? The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband likewise, also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except to be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and to prayer, and come together again. Here again it also talks about that they're one in many things. But yet, it goes on to say that you should take time for prayer and fasting. that you each may have your own closet or private time, if you will, for your own prayer and thoughts and so on, you see. And then you may come together. Satan tend you not for your contingency. In the world, I'll tell you what, Satan and through the world and many devices and many entertainment and so many things today is providing in contingency. We won't even go into that. But so many ways likes to tempt. And that's one temptation. In order to be able to do what? To get in and to divide. You do divide the relationship. You divide the relationship, you're doing what else? Dividing a family. It goes on to the children. Then it goes on from generation to generation. But we're, like I said, that the Lord wants us to fortify, to build, to sustain, to recognize relationships. And now, he does go on in verse 6 talking about, here's Paul, making, I speak by permission, not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as myself. And Paul being a single man. And now, it would have been a hardship. I'm sure he would have loved to have had a wife and a family and so on, but I'm sure it would have been a hardship that he was going from place to place to place. And finally, he was in prison, and it would have been a horrible thing for his family to have seen him stoned three times and so, and whipped, and drug out of the city. No certain dwelling place. Would have been probably a real hardship. And so he makes a statement. Once again, you got to look at the period and what he was involved in. He says, I would you would abide even as I. And there we find that there is not a commandment that a person should have to get married. Okay? That's not there. Now, it says that if to avoid fornication and so on and so forth. There are many instances where a person, you know, there are many single people, and that's can be a wonderful thing, you know. And we have a relationship with our brothers and sisters. It's a whole other subject to itself. And the Lord said there are eunuchs unto the Lord. And there are many other wonderful scriptures. And Paul was alone and had a wonderful and powerful usage. There are those that have the need for marriage, or the desire, or the purpose, and the plan. And we should encourage our young people to pray about that future, about that future mate that the Lord should lead them to. And we should never, you know, forsake that. Now, the thing about the cleaving together, and it talks about here, and as Jesus was saying, the one becoming one in flesh, and to cleave to one another, and that the couple should be working toward togetherness, not self-centeredness, or pushing each other away. And in so many ways, you are pulling for one another in a life-threatening situation. And as we were talking about in Ephesians 6 this morning, about battle and armament, spiritual wickedness in high places too, weren't we? And so, who best to know how to help you is one that's learning how to know who you are and about yourself and building trust and compatibility and growing together, not growing apart. If I gave you, as a couple, each of you in here, 25 feet of rope and told you nothing else, what would you do with it? First thought in some people's mind, they might say, well, I'd make a noose out of it for somebody. Some people may have a different real usage for it, or this or that. But I did mention it to give it to you as a couple. Now, I'm going to give you this instance, too. What if one of you was on the side of a cliff and the other was pulling the other up? Now, all the good things and all the togetherness and all of that air might come flashing before your eyes as to what you put into your relationship. Would they pull as hard as they could, and so on? And that's what kind of it is in life. But I would hope that the other end of that rope, one end you've tied off to Christ first. You see? Because that's a rock. And that's not going to move. Because, well, let's just say it was your wife was doing the pulling. And I'm heavier than she is. She's strong, but I'm heavier than she is. And guess what? I'm probably going to fall, whether she wanted me to or not. But if she tied it off to an immovable object, we've got something to go with now, too, don't we? A lot more assurance. But what are you going to do with your piece of rope? You see? What are you going to do with it? The other thing while we're here in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians in the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And that you should invite into your relationship and in your homes is that Holy Spirit of promise. Invite that it is going to work and move upon you and your relationship. Okay? Because you know something? We need to realize that men and women are different. And you say, ha, ha, ha. Well, but men and women are also wired differently. They think differently. Men and women think differently. And they operate differently. And they're designed strategically that way. We need to understand that, not to pull apart, but to pull together over and to appreciate that. Men and women are wired differently, strategically. There are things physically and spiritually that women can do that men cannot, and there are things that are physically, spiritually that men can do that women cannot, and we should not try to cross the two, even though I know that there's a lot of wonderful men or a lot of wonderful ladies that are on their own for whatever reasons and have to operate according to both because of whatever reasons in a home that is broken or whatever, see? And so because of that difference, they need to have that spirit in order to discern, to know, to have those needs met and things can work. Because he says in 2 Corinthians, I'd like to start at 9-13, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Does God know what you need? Does God know what you need for strength and for answer and for direction? Yes, he does. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Now, we've talked about that world, didn't we? And now, it says in the book of 1 John, it says, whoever loves the world is an enemy to God. Boy, that's a pretty harsh word, isn't it? Or words. Because God made the world. But we're not talking about appreciating the beauty of the earth. We're talking about some of the adverse spiritual effects that can be, you know, promoted in our lives. The things which we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of the God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. There may be things right underneath our noses, in our homes, in our relationships, in our families, that are of God that we don't recognize and appreciate and build upon. And we need that spirit to appreciate them, to recognize them, that we may even thank him about it. And he says in 13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things, but spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. How much do we miss out on in so many relationships when we don't depend upon the Lord and his Spirit working in our homes? That's the truth. And so we need that glue in our home. We need that working and moving and power and direction of the Lord Himself. And so, and with that scripture, I would like to end this portion of our sermon for today, because there's another aspect I would like to go into, and I believe we need a little more time upon that. And so, I think we will end there for today.